Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingen here with you on Monday morning. A demolition in Detroit, a dismantling in Detroit, destruction in Detroit. As long as it's alliterative, we can work on it. But either way, Lions 52, Titans 14. We want to hear from you early and often. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan will address reporters shortly from St. Thomas Sports Park. We will bring you his comments as soon as he takes the podium. But gentlemen, I wanted a respectable game. It was respectable for about, how long would you say it was respectable?
Well, it was 14-14 early in the second quarter, and immediately, less than 2 minutes later, it was 21-14. So, they didn't get it to halftime this time, competitive, which is the one thing you could have said about all but one of the games so far. That was what they were hanging their hat on, is we're in position to win these games. We just have not been able to get over the hump. That was not the case yesterday. And if you look at the last two second halves, they have been overmatched by, I would say, Super Bowl contending teams. The Bills and the Lions are Super Bowl contenders. If they met in the Super Bowl this year, I would not be completely shocked. So you're measuring yourself against the best, the top end, and you see how far the gap is between them and what you're trying to build.
So it was a respectable game for the first quarter and the first couple minutes of the second quarter. So let's call it 18 minutes of competitive football?
Well, it was 28-14 with 11:37 to go in the first half. So it went from a tie game to giving up two touchdowns in a very short span.
Yes.
And their defense, which is supposed to be what keeps them in games, they were put in some bad spots yesterday.
Absolutely.
But they were not able to stop the bleeding or keep them around by getting a big stop, a big turnover, a big red zone, hold them to a field goal. I mean, that's why it's so, I don't know why people still do it. Come in and say they're the number one defense because of the yards. The yards mean very little when you get down to it. They mean something, but that is not the measurement of the best defenses.
Yesterday yards. Was the prime example of why yards does not equal best defenses in the NFL. This was a stat from the NFL that when I saw it, it was mind-boggling. The Lions were the first team to score 50-plus points with fewer than 100 passing yards in a game since 1955. That was the last time a team scored 50-plus points with fewer than 100 passing yards. 1955. Was the forward pass even a thing in 1955?
It was. It was. But face masks, I don't think, were a thing in 1955.
They saw the Leatherheads.
I think maybe what year did the leather turn into? Who was the first person, and what year was it, that came into the locker room and said, you guys, these leather helmets, I got something new. I've got something. It's made of plastic. It's harder. It's a shell. I think it'll be better than these leather things we're wearing. What year was that? I don't know.
It might actually be in the 50s. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I will do that research. But my point being, to Willie's point, is that the Titans defense can say, hey, we give up fewer than 100 passing yards. That's great. You gave up 50-plus points as a team. As I said, the first time that's happened since 1955. I get really bad secondhand embarrassment. Like I used to watch those shows on MTV. There used to be a show called Made on MTV. It came on when I was a teenager, so I was right in that wheelhouse. And what the show was about was they would take somebody who wanted to do something, and they would pair them with a professional in that field, and they would try to fulfill their dream. And one of the most common ones that they would do, they would have these nerdy guys. They wanted to go to the homecoming dance or the prom, and they wanted to have a date, but they were really nerdy and shy around girls. So remember, lady, like professional, like the professional ladies' men, like the dating consult. I can't remember pickup artists. That's the word I'm looking for. They would set up these nerdy high schoolers with these pickup artists who would try to teach them how to pick up girls and ask girls out so that they could have a date to the dance. And it was so hard to watch because these teenagers were flailing. They were sinking, trying to ask these girls out, and they were trying to spit game, and it was not good. And I had to watch through my fingers because it was that uncomfortable. And that's what it was like watching that football game yesterday. That was not a professional football team on that field. There was one on the field, the Detroit Lions. I don't know what was going on with the Tennessee Titans yesterday, but I had such hardcore secondhand embarrassment watching that football game yesterday, Derek.
I mean, you can't win a game when you don't give yourself an opportunity to win the game. That's basically what it boils down to. First series of the game, they went 3-and-out. Now, mind you, the Titans defense did cause the Detroit Lions to go 3-for-9 on third down. That's a plus. When Detroit had to travel the length of the field, basically, they scored once. They gave up 7 points once. People don't understand. When you're playing with half of the field, that's not good. People can scream and yell and curse and say the defense should have stopped them. And, okay, yeah, you can say that. But when you're only playing half of the field, majority of the game, which the Detroit Lions were doing, there's only so much that the defense can do. They held them as long as possible. Eventually, the dam is going to break, and you're going to give up points. They were in that game going into halftime. The only thing Brian Callahan had to do was kick a field goal, get some points, let's go on with some momentum, come back after half, and then we can reset ourselves. But when you try to four straight plays,
that was crazy.
You're running pass plays instead of trying to run the ball to the best player, giving the ball to the best player on your team, Pollard, right now. You don't give him the ball once. That is coaching malpractice. Now you go into halftime, you're deflated, you come out after halftime, I think you go 3-and-out. That was coaching malpractice. But that's a young coach. Vrabel did some stupid things when he was his first year as a head coach. But he was able to sort of, you know, redeem himself. And, you know, he had a pretty good tenure here. But that first year – he had a lot of bonehead things that he did as a coach. And Brian Callahan is having those things. But the surprising part about it, at least the right before half, is you are an offensive coordinator. You are at the one-yard line. The one thing that is working for you is the run game. So at least run the ball one time. Detroit had proven they couldn't really stop the run. You are getting chunks at times. So run the football. If you don't get in, then now we can say, all right, they held us up. But you didn't give your team an opportunity to score. I understand the play calling. I don't think there was necessarily anything with those four plays. I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with the play calling. You had Tyler Boyd drop one, and then you had another that should have been a touchdown, but something happened on the play, and then you had the fade to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and I don't know what you tried to run on you know, one of the other ones, but you had four opportunities.
That was the one where
exactly
he went out of bounds and came
back
in.
Yeah, he went out of bounds, came back in. It was like, man, you did your team a huge disservice by – it was almost like your arrogance got in the way of you calling the right play. Like, you didn't score the first time with a pass play, so you said, damn it, I'm going to do it again. You didn't do it again, so you said, you know what, I got some more pass plays. That instead of saying, whoa, let me run the ball at least one time to see if we can get the ball in. Because I guarantee you, you probably would have got the ball in. The way Pollard was running, the way the offensive line was blocking on run plays, you would have at least made it close in regards to scoring a touchdown, but you chose to go the opposite of that. Why? Again, because your arrogance got in the way. I can call the right pass play to get the ball in the end zone from the one-yard line. That was worse than, well, I'm not going to say worse because Pete Carroll ended up losing the Super Bowl because of that, but that was sort of like the Pete Carroll, like, dude, just run the ball in.
That was a
bummer. Exactly, you're not running the ball in. This team, and again, I'm going to say this, I'm not going to hold the defense at fault mainly for this, because when the average turning point for an offense is like the 40, the plus 40, your 40, something's wrong with that. Like, how many times can I hold up if they're starting on the other side of the 50? You're going to give us some points every now and then when they only have to drive 40-some yards. Matter of fact, they only got to drive 20 yards to get points.
But you got
to
hold them field goals. So.
Yeah, but you got to – but
every single time they scored a touchdown.
I get that.
It was easy.
But I get that part. But when you put a team in a situation like that too many times, right, it eventually is going –
it's breaking at their
– it's going to break. Yeah. Those guys are tired. Those guys didn't spend as much time being able to rest. But again, that's his job, meaning Denard Wilson to put together a defense, and that's their job, defensive guys, to stop. This roster isn't good. And I'm going to tell you why it's not good, or I'm going to show you why it's not good. Look at the special teams. That's the reason this roster is not good. Just look at their special teams, because typically – what happens is, who are playing your special teams? Your second line guys. Not too many of your starters are playing on punt return, kickoff, and punt. Not too many of your starters are playing not on field goal. They are, because it's just the offensive line and the extra tight end or so. But the bulk of these guys that are playing on your teams, special teams, are backup guys. Does the Titans have depth? No. So now what you're doing is you're asking guys that are really third-line guys, meaning damn near practice squad guys, guys that shouldn't be playing, you're asking them now to play. Or you're asking your front-line guys who's tired, they got to go on special teams, and you're asking them to go out there and get the job done. This is not a Colt Anderson problem. It is not. Any special teams coach they bring in here, they have no depth people. And if you understand anything about football, if you have no depth, the first people that suffer or the first unit that suffers is special teams. Because those are the guys that are usually playing on your special teams, trying to win a job to ultimately become starters. This team has no depth. It is trickle down. It's a trickle down effect. And it's happening in real time.
Ken on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, why is it always the Titans anytime there is a first time ever or first time in decades. That's in reference to the stat I shared that the Lions were the first team to score 50-plus points with fewer than 100 passing yards in a game since 1955. Well, I've got another one for you,
They're
Ken.
Not always a first time.
It just seems like when it rains, it pours. But here's another one for you, Ken, courtesy of Benjamin Solak of ESPN. I believe this was after Calvin Ridley's fumble and the subsequent touchdown. The Lions are the first team ever with five touchdown drives of 30 or fewer yards in a single game.
If they only got to go 30 yards five times 30 yards, I expect you to stop once, okay. But five times? And it's not like you're going against the Carolina Panthers or you're going against the New England Patriots. You're going against the best offense in the National Football League, and their starting point is the 30. And you're asking a defense who's depleted at the secondary position. That's a whole different problem. But they have no starters in the back, at least at the cornerback position. You're going against an offensive juggernaut. What do they do, or what can they do? You can only do so much. I've been there. That's why, to me, I'm not sitting here, ranting and raving, because there's nothing they can do. This is a bad team. And for everybody that is screaming for change, fire the head coach, fire the GM, y'all are the same people that said this team wasn't going to win no more than five games. Well, here it is. They've given you the plate. You already said the food was going to be nasty when it comes out. But then it comes out and you taste it and it's nasty. Now you want to complain about it. You knew that this team was going to be a bad team. If you know anything about football, you knew this team was not going to be good. But now y'all are complaining, yelling and screaming, saying this guy needs to be fired, that guy needs to be fired, when this roster isn't good at all.
The issue with that, and we'll continue with this over the course of the show, and Rand Carthon did emerge like Punxsutawney Phil on Groundhog Day, sort of, and we'll talk about what Rand Carthon had to say later. But the issue, and Willie has brought this up many times, it's the messaging from the organization. I think that the Titans brass, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan, they're supposed to, part of their job is to sell a vision for the franchise. And they sold a vision that this team was going to be competitive, which is not what they should have done. I remember we all made our predictions before the start of the season. I said the Titans were going to finish 7-10. And boy, doesn't that look good right about now? 7-10. Of all of our hosts, in terms of actual predictions, not the expectations that Jared and Ian had, but actual on-the-paper predictions, Big Joe Dubin, I believe, was the least optimistic. He had them at 5-12. And I remember, 5-12. I don't think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be that bad. Big Joe was on to something.
Well, so, when your roster is depleted at depth, it takes one or two guys to go down to change the whole narrative of what's going on with your team. And that is what's happening. First, the quarterback didn't work out. And then they start having guys go down. Well, once one or two guys go down, same problem that Mike Vrabel ran into. Once a few guys go down, now you start to see the depth of your team. And there's no – and somebody needs to pull this up for me, because everybody's saying, well, they should have came out and said this was a rebuild. There's no team in the National Football League that I know of where the GM or the owner is going to come out. This is not basketball. This is not baseball. This is not hockey. They have a different fan base and everything else. There's no GM – that is going to come out, at least not a GM that I know, will come out and say, this is a rebuild. They're not going to do that.
They should.
In the history of the NFL, fans are not going to show up. That's what I'm saying. And it's all about the bottom line. And you may be right with that, Willie, and I've said you were right. Maybe they need to rebrand the message. But there's no NFL GM that is going to come out and say, listen, this is a rebuild. Be patient with this. Nobody's going to – they can do it in baseball. They can do it in basketball. They can do it in hockey. They cannot do it in football. Why? Because ain't nobody going to show up in them stands if you tell them in the front end that, hey, listen, this is a rebuild. We may only win two or three games. They're going to say, well, you know what? We'll come back the year after that when y'all are ready to win.
615.
People are not stupid. Or at least they should.
People are stupid, Willie. I'm not throwing that at. But people are.
But you can't.
Naive. Let's say naive. Not stupid, but naive.
Hope. You can't sell false hope. And well, you know what they did? Mm-hmm. They kind of sold.
There's
false
been
hope.
False hope sold everywhere.
Because they should have been smarter about it. And the fans, I think, would have been more understanding that way.
We will get back into this coming up next, but we await Brian Callahan. I believe he is next to address reporters at St. Thomas Sports Park. 615-737-1025. We'll take your texts and calls all show long. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. I see what you did there, David. Born and raised in South Detroit. Is there a South Detroit, Derek?
Yeah, there's the South, East, West. It's all of it.
I feel like I've heard there's not really a South Detroit.
But we don't
Detroit,
call it quote, South Detroit. Yeah, we don't call it like South Detroit. It's just the East side and the West side, man. That's all we say.
But you know who stopped believing yesterday? The Tennessee Titans. After losing 52-14 to the Detroit Lions, we await Brian Callahan's news conference. We will bring it to you as soon as he takes the podium. But first, Mike in Gallatin is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, I know this will be something that is going to take a lot longer than probably what time you have to cover. But, man, for the last two seasons in whole, not just this season two, we have not scored points in the second half at all. The second half woes are just wild. I can't explain. Just the switch just completely turns off. Derek, is there something that, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked to this at least a little bit before, but what's going on in the second half that we're not doing in the first or something like that? Because, man, I just can't explain why we can't put up any points in the second half. It's embarrassing.
Thanks, Mike. And by the way, on the broadcast yesterday, they did show second half point differential over the past 3 years, this season, the season before, and the season before that. Titans last. So this is an issue that predates Brian Callahan. It happened under Mike Vrabel as well. Derek, go ahead.
This is an issue that predates him and anybody that's basically in management right now, whether it's Brinkert, Callie, anybody. It predates them. But, you know, man, this – the second half was, I'm not going to sit here and say, it's easy for somebody to say, well, they didn't make adjustments. Don't you know? Okay, I'm going to give y'all a picture. So y'all can stop saying they don't make adjustments. I'm going to give y'all an inside view of what happens in the locker room at halftime. All right, we come in. The coaches have a quick meeting with themselves, maybe a couple minutes. Players are going to the restroom, getting treatment, getting IVs. So you got about 10 to 15 players doing other things to get themselves ready for the second half. And then right before we go out, the last 2 minutes of the game, the last 2 minutes of halftime, so to speak, before we got to go out, and maybe the last minute, the head coach comes in here and he gives his spiel. That's it. Then we come back out to the locker. Then we go back out of the field. So when people say, why don't they make adjustments? You don't even have time to sit there to talk about making adjustments. Now, the OC may go up to the quarterback and say, hey, listen, that play we ran, you know, in the first half, we're going to come back to that play and look at this, or we may run it out of a different formation, but we'll come back to it. Those are the adjustments that are being made. There's not no wholesale, okay, we ran these 50 plays, we're going to throw these 50 plays out and run a whole new 50 plays. It doesn't work that way, people. Adjustments, it's not like they're making these overhaul adjustments. It's tweaking a little thing here, a little thing there, and then you're hoping that when you do come out, that it works. You're not going in there making these wholesale changes or making these, you know, what people deem are adjustments. Every team in the National Football League make an adjustment. But does the adjustment work? Because believe that team on the other side, they're making adjustments too, whether they're up or they're behind. They're making adjustments too. And you just hope that the things that you talked about at halftime, which was probably for 30 seconds, you hope then you can come out and execute at least that first drive to get some momentum. Football is all about timing and momentum. If you get that momentum and that timing down, then your offense tend to run. If your defense get it in a sort of – if your defense gets that momentum, then they're rolling. It's, again, they're not making wholesale changes at half. They're not doing all of these things that people think they should do because they don't have enough time. You put together a game plan at the beginning of the week of about – maybe 100 and something pass plays. You're not going to run all 100 of them. It may not be, yeah, about 100 of them. And then opposite of that is probably the same amount or close to it of run plays. That's your game plan for the whole game for that week because you're trying to do some things that you think you can capitalize on that defense. If it doesn't work, then you go to another play. It's not like you're inventing new plays out there and say, well, they're doing this, so we should do that. There's only so many defenses a defense can play, and there's only so many offensive plays an offense can run as far as variations of a play. There's only so many. It's, are you capitalizing on those plays? Are you seeing the open guy? Because just about every play has one open guy. You just got to find that open guy quick enough.
Willie, any thoughts?
So there's your adjustments, people.
Well, I mean, they're not even getting points in the second half in garbage time. When the game is out of reach like it was yesterday.
But when you become one-dimensional, you lose all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot bigger than the halftime adjustments. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, the bottom line is this has been a problem for a long time. I think it's the mark of just not being very good when you get down to it. But it is stunning. Those are glaring stats, is their performance in second halves. And then specifically the punt team. You can look at all of the special teams, and it's last, but it's last because of how bad the punt team is relative to anybody else in the league. It's just stunning how bad the punt team is.
Brian Callahan has arrived at the podium at St. Thomas Sports Park. We'll bring you to him now.
Not much to report from last night. Well, again, injury-wise, dealing with a couple of things here and there, but you know, nothing that any definitiveness right now. So we'll see what Wednesday brings. A couple more days, but no one, you know, that's from yesterday. We had nobody real issues. So we'll see where we are come Wednesday. But as of right now, just working through all the normal bumps and bruises at week 8.
What kind of conversation have you had with Colt in the aftermath of all that happened on special teams yesterday?
Yeah, watch tape together, see where it went wrong, see what issues we had and where they came up and where we can fix them, you know, what things we can do differently to make sure we put a better execution on the field, better schematics on the field, whatever that may be, to help us be better than it was on Sunday, because we can't have that. That's not at all acceptable in that regard. So got to find some solutions, and again, it can come a lot of different ways. We're working hard on it today on what we can do differently to help that process out.
Some issues maybe with hang time and also tackling, absolutely. What can you do to fix that? Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think we need to do a better job. I think Stoney can do a better job of putting the ball in the air longer, give us a chance to cover, because the reality of it is we made some personnel changes on that punt unit after the block punts early in the season to try to settle it down. Which we've done. They've done a really nice job protecting the punter, but we've sacrificed a little bit of speed and coverage ability with some of the bigger bodies in there to protect the punter. And when you do that, the ball's got to hang up further, and we have to have a chance to get down the field and cover. You know, obviously we're down some gunners because those guys are now, you know, playing more football for us with Nick Westbrook, and Jarvis was one of the gunners too. And, you know, so we got to do a better job of complementing each other in each phase of the punt unit. And right now we're not doing a good enough job of that. You know, our hang time, I think, is averaging somewhere around 4-0, which has got to be higher than that, and to give ourselves a chance.
Do you need to get starters? Do you need to get more starters involved in that unit?
Yeah, we'll look at that. I mean, all three tight ends are on a unit. You know, some guys we have that have started are on there, but yeah, we'll look at that certainly. If that's an avenue to help improve it, we'll improve it. And they, if we feel like that can get us a better coverage unit, then certainly we'll ask those guys to play.
hang time become maybe even more of an issue when a guy like Stonehouse kicks it as far as he does? Does that actually maybe hurt when the hang time?
Right now, it is hurting us. Yes, I mean we're some of the punts that we've had where you know the it gets down the field and it goes long down the field, but it doesn't hang up in the air and give us enough time to get down there to cover, puts us in a tough spot. And then our fundamentals of it got to be better too. You know, we were in position yesterday. You know, the first punt return should have never got out. We should have been able to get them on the ground, and we don't because we miss a tackle or two. And all of a sudden you miss two tackles and a punt return, and in the NFL it's out. And so we got to be better there fundamentally. And then we can find some ways personnel-wise to help us. And then, you know, there's some things schematically we can do to help our guys as well. So, look, it's an all-hands-on-deck approach to getting solutions to some of our issues. And again, we've fixed previous issues, and now other issues are showing up that we have to find a way to get better at quickly because, again, we can't give up the return yards that we gave up.
That Colt can turn the special teams unit around?
I mean, Colt's played a lot of football in the NFL, too. He's seen, he played for 8 years as a player. He was under one of the best special teams coaches in football, I think, in Darren Simmons in Cincinnati. So he's got the experience and the wherewithal to understand where the special teams issues are. And then you got Anthony Levine in there with him, who also has seen a lot and played a lot and under John Harbaugh in Baltimore. So those guys got great special teams experience. They understand what they're looking at and what there is, and we have to do a better job all the way around. But those guys know special teams, and they know what the solutions are, and we have to make sure we implement them and do them. Because I think they're good young coaches, but again, they're young coaches too, just like there's a couple of us are, and we have to do a better job all the way around.
There are a lot of guys who've played, there are examples abound, who played well, who don't necessarily coach well, and you said the same thing about solutions after the punt block, but isn't the key to find the solutions before the problems happen?
Yeah, sometimes problems show up that you don't necessarily anticipate. When those things you make a change and it's a give and take, and those things can pop up on you. And again, you know, we've got to find ways to get the ball in position for us to cover and get guys down there. And you know, I'd love to force some more fair catches and not give returners a chance to get the ball in their hands and get up the field. So certainly there is a proactive part of it. You want to be ahead of the curve, but then when you're not, you got to find ways to react and fix it quickly. So that's where we're at right now.
But do you have any regret about letting loose some of those core special teamers when it came to personnel decisions on cut day?
No, I mean, really, there was maybe one. You know, who would you be referring to?
Just Hassan or Matt Jackson or some of these guys that took a lot of Anthony Kendall special teams reps the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, we had Anthony Kendall on the practice squad and we were trying to get to a point where maybe he was healthy, but then our roster moves and you know we had to make some moves to do some other things. But yeah, I mean, there's a. You know, there's a place for those special teams guys on your roster, and we felt like we had enough of them at the cutdown date and felt good about where we were at, and right now it's just not been good enough. So we can look back in hindsight, and that might have helped, might not have. I'm not sure. But right now we are where we are, and we got to find a way to get it corrected.
Has this team regressed in some areas, or is it more a product of your flaws exposed by playing two teams who are Super Bowl caliber on the road?
No, I don't think we've regressed. I think we continue to make strides. I think we're getting better. I thought we played that first half of offensive football was as good as we played offensively all year against a defense that I thought was really, really good. And we found ways to make plays and move the ball. I mean, I think we had 8 explosive plays in a game, and that usually, again, is going to put you in pretty good position in most weeks to have a chance to win. You know, defensively, we still do a lot of really good things. And again, we got teams like Detroit are going to make their plays. It's a good football team. They're a contending team for a reason, and so we knew they're going to have opportunities to make plays, and they made some, and we made some. But we got to stop giving teams opportunities to beat us, which we do too much of. You know, when you give them five possessions that start inside their territory, when you turn a ball over 4 times, you're not doing anything that's going to help you win a game. And right now, we got to find ways to eliminate those mistakes, and I got to do a better job of helping the quarterbacks not make those decisions. We got to do a better job of holding on to the football when we have it in our hands. And then, again, we got to fix the special teams problems that we have currently. So I see improvement in a lot of areas, and I know it doesn't look like it. And we've been, you know, two really good football teams that you know, took advantage of our mistakes, and that's what the good teams in this league do, is they punish you when you make mistakes, and we made too many, and they punished us. And there is things that I'm encouraged by. There's things that are getting better every week, and I think we're closer than it may appear in a lot of areas, but we got to keep pushing forward.
Given how you guys gained 416 yards yesterday but only scored 14 points, I mean, outside of that first and goal situation,
yeah,
what is behind moving up and down the field but not being able to punch it in?
Yeah, that's a critical part. That would have been nice to get 21 points there before the half ended. That would have been a pretty solid first half. And again, our execution wanes in the second half. You know, we get the first come out in the first drive of the third quarter, and we got Ridd in a great spot. We got a great mismatch with him on a linebacker, and we get tackled, you know, a half a yard short of the sticks, and we got a punt. And then we had a really bad series where we just kind of went two incompletions and then got to third and 10, and that's not, you know, third and 10 is a tough spot for us right now. We're not super, super efficient on third and longs. That's kind of been our Achilles heel in the second half, is getting behind those sticks, whereas in the first half, it was multiple times we didn't even hit a third down in some of those drives. So that's the balance, and we're not consistent enough long enough over the course of a game right now, and we need to be.
At the start of another week, you have some optimism. Will's back this Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see where he's at. I'm optimistic he's in a better place after some rest. He's probably going to take another day or two of rest, and then we'll see what he looks like Wednesday. So I can't comment with any certainty what will be the case, but I'm hopeful that he's closer to feeling like 100% or as close to that as he can, so he can go out there and play.
How would you classify the turnover yesterday? And I guess the other way to ask it is, early in the season, there were some sort of inexplicable decisions that led to them, and it felt like if you clean those up, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there's four. Are those inexplicable? Are they great defensive plays? How do you clean
the first up? The first one was one that you know, is in line with those early ones that, you know, we called the play action pass. You know, we got a bunch of guys devoted to protection. It's kind of a two-man route, three-level throw with the back out. They covered it, you know, just, and that's what happens sometimes. The defense covers the play. You know, Mason goes to draw on the high cross, and the safety rips down out of quarters, and he kind of cuts it off. And so he's going to draw, and then he feels the safety drive it, and then he sort of tries to go check the ball. Then as he's getting hit, and throws the ball right to the other defender, whereas, like, it's second and six. Just look, if there's nothing there, one, throw it away, or two, take the sack. Don't put us in that spot. So that one was a bad one. The second one was you know, that interception was one that happens to quarterbacks. The post safety's in the middle of the field. They cut it. We got the high cross coming there. The safety just cuts it. We have a route on the outside that, you know, has a shot, but the safety came out of the middle and made a nice play. Those things happen to quarterbacks. That's not necessarily a decision-making error. And then we just get two balls punched out. You know, Red's got a jet sweep, and he's in traffic, and they just punch it out. And then, you know, Chig's got one where it just gets punched out again. So, you know, fighting through traffic, trying to get another yard or two, guys trying to do something with it and put the ball in harm's way. It's not secured the way it's supposed to be, and it's things we talk about every week. And, you know, they got punched out. And so it's – those ones aren't inexplicable. Those are just, you know, the defense making a play on a football and us not taking care of it well enough.
I guess to St. Brown and to Raymond, those guys look like they're – particularly open. What did they do to get those guys in the clear?
Somewhere? Yeah, they were. There was, I think, three plays down there that, you know, we're in man coverage in the low red zone. It's an eye discipline thing. The first one, the one that I'm on, Ross St. Brown, you know, Baker's in there in man coverage, and he takes his eyes off to go. They feel the run action. He takes his eyes off him, and he slips out. He should be right there on him. His eyes should be on him. The one to Jarvis, they run an orbit motion, and as we go to run with it, he kind of starts to takes his eyes off him and starts to run, and they put their foot in the ground and come back in the snap. So he gets caught out of position. And then on the first, I think it was the first one, the one at the tight end in the flat, you know, it's the same thing. They go in a fast motion, you know, and those are hard. That's the hard part about playing the lines and what they do with their motion is that they, you know, you got to pass it off. And so it's supposed to get passed off and ultimately does it. And he ends up open for a touchdown. So it's just more the eye discipline and the, you know, tracking of people and some of those things that are designed to give you conflict, being more disciplined with our eyes.
That when reflecting on the first seven games, that the ball just hasn't bounced the team's way this year. Do you believe that?
There's moments where it feels like that, but there's also a part of football where, you know, you have to make your own luck to some degree too. You know, you got those things that feel like luck and feel like the bounces go your way or don't go your way. Part of that is making it happen for yourself too. You know, but we've also given away a lot. And that's there's moments where it feels like you know, there's like three plays a game where it's like, what in the world is happening right now? Like, how does this even happen? But I, you know, there's a part of the ball bouncing your way. Like, good teams have to kind of just goes your way sometimes. You know, the ball, they end up with the ball, they make plays in the ball. There's a momentum factor that it's hard to like pinpoint what that is. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where it's felt that way. But again, I'm more in the line of you sort of have to create those opportunities and make that, you have to make your luck a bit too in this league, and we've not done a good enough job of it.
When you look at the state of this franchise,
yep.
Do you feel that it's shifted a lot or at all from coming into the season to now having, you know, tied with Carolina for the worst record in the league?
I'm not quite sure.
Like the state of the franchise, like the optimism, the stated goal, where you guys felt you would be and the direction that the franchise is going.
Yeah, I think our record is what it is. It's not indicative to me of what I think we're capable of. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, no, I don't. My vision and my belief in what we're going to do and how we're doing it hasn't had the results to show for it yet, and that's disappointing. I was hopeful. I was anticipating better than where we're at right now. And that's just the reality. But we're not there. And at the end of the day, the vision, my belief, and the people here and the players here is that we should be better and we need to be better. And I know where we're headed. I believe in it very much. And those are things that happen when you're in a dark spot. I mean, these years are challenging. They challenge your vision. They challenge your leadership. And those are all things that come with being in your first year. But I'm about as determined as I've ever been to get it right and get it fixed and keep on the track that I believe that we're on. And we got to do some things better all the way around, but I'm not at all dissuaded from where I think we're capable of being.
Grant also pointed to some teams that have gotten good that had bad first years and kind of said, just trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You on the same page with that?
As far as what I'm saying to you?
In terms of just trust him, just trust you guys, it'll get better?
Well, I mean, again, I've said this before, but I think the definition of faith and trust is believing in something you don't have any proof of at the moment. You know, and right now we don't have proof. We have nothing tangible to show for what our process is, how we do things, because it's a production-based business and a results-based business. You know, we're 1-6, and that is what it is. But I do have faith in where we're headed, and I do have faith in how we go about our business here and what that's going to bring for us. So I'm not asking you guys to trust me necessarily, but I know that I have trust in the people that I'm working with and what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Whether it's special teams or, you know, other personnel moves, whatever it would be, at what point would your belief in what you're just talking about be shaken a little bit? You're talking about finding the play indicative of what you believe you can be.
Mm-hmm.
How long can you go without that play before your own faith gets tested?
Oh, you have to persevere. You have to. There's a resilience to it, and it's challenging. Certainly, there's days where you got to keep finding that, and you got to keep pushing through it, knowing that you at the end result of what you believe the process is that you're going to get there, and that's what I do. And there's things that we have to get better at. There's things that we need to make improvements on. There's things that I've had to adapt. And I've had to find different ways that maybe this isn't exactly what I thought in the moment. And we got to grow and we got to adapt and we got to maybe do something a little bit different. And I think as long as you're open to that and you're flexible to it, you can keep pushing and keep working through the things that are challenging. And right now we're right in the midst of it. And these challenges are things that I think are going to make us better at the end of the day. It's going to make us a harder football team. It's going to make us put us in a position, I think, to deal with adversity better in the future as we fight through it. But those are all things that come with it. And right now, at 1-6, you know, we're right in the thick of it right now, and we got to find our way out.
How patient has Amy been through this process as you guys go through these struggles?
Yeah, look, none of us are that patient, you know. And again, any conversation with her, I'll leave between us. But at the end of the day, you know, we communicate, we speak, we talk. All of us, you know, between Rand and Chad and myself and Amy, we have the conversations that we need to have. We lay it out. There's no sugarcoating anything, and we know what the plan is and where we're headed and how we're going to get there. But yeah, those things are it's all part of it, you know. And it's all, there's, you know, you're only as patient as, you know, you know, what it's the NFL. There's not a lot of patience anywhere in the NFL, and we got to find a way to, you know, get better.
You respond super well to negative plays over the course of a game. Examples like a turnover, then a quick score on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. You talked about some sideline energy, but can you diagnose a root cause of some of that, you know, response?
No, that's been the hardest part so far for us, I think, is finding ways to complement each other the right way. And, you know, we go down, we turn the ball over early in the game, and they score. It's 7-0. And we find a way to climb back in. It's 7-7. And then we give up a big kick return. And they score. Now it's 14-7. And then we come back and answer, and it's 14-14. So now we're kind of in this back and forth. And then you go to 14-14, and then we give up the 70-yard touchdown run. Now it's 21-14. And then now it just starts to – it's like the back and forth. It's like it's hard to keep up doing that. And we have to do a better job in all three phases of complementing good play. And we haven't done that yet. We haven't complemented a big stop on defense with a score on offense. We haven't complemented a big answer on offense with a stop on defense. It feels like it's happened all year long. And the answer is that how do you improve that is – you just have to go make the play when you need to make it. And right now we're not in that phase, and we're just sort of out of sync when it comes to complementing each other in all three phases. And it's really making it hard on us to capture momentum, especially with against really good teams on the road. And those things make it challenging to go win a game when you can't quite flip the momentum in your favor and you can't quite flip the execution in your favor. We keep getting in these spots where we're not doing a good enough job helping each other out. And we've addressed it. We talk about it. It's all things that guys are aware of. And, you know, I thought the early part of that game in the first half, we did a much better job answering when something either negative happened or something we found a way to answer. We just didn't sustain it for the entirety of the game.
Some of the guys have mentioned, like, adversity, the energy gets down, the vibes aren't right on the sideline. As far as a leadership perspective, mm-hmm. Like, who are some of the guys that – you know, okay, that energy's down. I could depend on him, and he's going to get it back up.
Yeah, I think the guys that you see right now, you know, playing the best football for us, it's Tony Pollard. I thought Calvin answered in a big way this week in terms of his production and his knowing that we rely on him to make big plays, and he made them. I think the offensive line-wise, like Lloyd, does a great job keeping things together up front. So those are the guys. And on defense, it's – you know, I'm watching Jeff and Arden in the last, you know, it's 52-14, and they're still down there trying to knock the hell out of the ball carrier. I mean, those are the things that I look at that gives me confidence that we have the right things in play. We have the right mentality. Our best players are playing their ass off at the end of a game when we're not winning, and those are the things that make me believe in what I'm seeing there. We just have to clean up the things that are losing us games, but the core of what we need is there.
That was Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan addressing reporters at St. Thomas Sports Park. A lot to get into there. We will react to it next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
FinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit FinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.